This morning. It's good to have my aunt from Georgia with us. She's, in case y'all didn't know, she's the one that we've been praying for all this time. So there's the results of your prayers. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God is so good to us all the time. Even when we don't see it. Why? Because the Bible says He's good. Bible says, according to 1 John 4:8, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Amen. We was talking last week about faith versus works. I guess if I was going to put a title on it, I told Beth this morning, I gave her four scriptures that three of them we went over last week. I said, I don't know, Beth. She's like, well, do you want this second one down here to be the title? I'm like, well, I don't know. I said, well, just go ahead and put that. So we'll just call this one Living by Faith. And sometimes, for those of you that's going to be ministering and stuff like that, sometimes God will let you do, I mean, it's like you just have line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture after scripture, just in an outline thing. Then there's other times that it seems like to me there'll be five messages going off on the inside of me and you can't write nothing down. How many knows those are the times that you do by faith? You believe that whatever He's given you is like downloaded on the inside of you. And when it gets time, He'll bring out whatever it is that He wants to bring out. Because sometimes people, if they can't get it written down, just line upon line, they get in fear or unbelief. How many knows? Everything we minister is supposed to be by because of faith. Right? To minister faith. Doesn't mean every scripture you say has to be about faith, but that's the place that you have to minister from, because we're not supposed to minister out of this. This would be carnal. This is reasoning up here. We're supposed to minister out of our spirit, amen? That's why I told y'all when my head and everything was so messed up, I couldn't walk and stuff like that, I would tell y'all, y'all going to have to help me. Because how many knows, faith in God, you can draw from God and He'll use me to minister to you or whoever's up here at the time, right? And I would tell you that if we can get over into the spirit, I can do it. Why? Because my spirit is not limited to this physical body. What I'm saying is not supposed to come from here. It's supposed to come from here. Therefore, I can speak from here, and this right here, it never even register. Amen? So we'll just title this Living by Faith. If you got your Bible, let's look at Romans 1:17. Beth will put it on the screen for us. This is going to be the Amplified, I believe, classic scriptures. If you don't have that, you can read it from here. It says, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. The next one is, what is that, Beth? Galatians 3:11? Yeah. It says, now it is evident that no person is justified, declared righteous, and brought into right standing with God through the law. It says, for the scripture says, the man in right standing with God, the just, the righteous, shall live by and out of faith, and he who through and by faith is declared righteous and in right standing with God shall live. The next one, Beth. It says, but the just shall live by faith. This is over and over and over, right? The Bible says, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So he says, but the just shall live by faith. Not by what we see, right? Not by what we feel. Not by what we hear. I'm going to tell you something. We have to become so rooted and grounded and living at all times by faith. Because there's coming a greater deception than what we have ever known. The Bible talks about it, right? So if you live by how you feel, you're going to get deceived. We must live. What do I mean when I say live? Brother Brad used to tell us, he'd say, when you eat a hamburger, eat it by faith. According to Scripture, we know, wherever we know the will of God, we can have faith for that. Why? Because that's what we know about Him is His will. Faith begins wherever the will of God is known. Now, there's areas of, in this book, how many knows this book tells us the will of God? And if you ever forget, if you ever have a question, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Reason being, Jesus said of Himself, He told the disciples, He said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. The Bible says that it was God that was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, right? Anything that was the will of God, Jesus did it, right? And he did it all by faith because he said, I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. According to Hebrews 11:6, without faith, walking and living by faith, and doing the will of God by what we believe, we cannot please him. Don't say you might please him every now and then. No, you cannot. Nobody can. That's how come, just like, you know, some people, when he talks about living by the law or by works and things like that, there's not any one of us that was good enough to do this. After you get born again, there's not a one of us that is good enough to do this. That's why it's all by faith. If you can do it, it's probably not him. Let's go on here. He says, but the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things in holy fervor, born of faith. Faith is in the heart, not of the head. Right? He says, and conjoined with it, and if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. Goes right along with Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many knows you can start out in faith believing God, but then you can start looking at what's out here to see? You can start listening to the devil. You can start listening to other people, right? And even though you started in faith, you shrink back in fear. He says, I have no pleasure in that. How many knows we must continue once we start to the end? Because we don't ever go by what we see. Because, listen, these eyes are made to see the natural. The only way you can see into the Spirit is God show it to you. Or we would call First Corinthians chapter 12, the gift of discerning of spirits, things like that. Then you can see. With these natural eyes, you cannot see spirit. But how many knows there's things that are coming that they're going to be revealed to the natural that you can see them, and they're not of God. Gosh, y'all getting way too quiet. Am I talking in line with Scripture or not? Just like the book of Revelation talks about how the Antichrist is coming. There'll be the Antichrist, there'll be the beast, and then there'll be the false prophet. And the Bible says they give life to the beast. Right? So, I mean, it's the AI that we have now is nothing compared to what it's about to be. I saw a little thing on Facebook, I believe it was last year. I think it was about Thanksgiving time. And there was Biden and Trump in the kitchen with their aprons on, and they was cooking Thanksgiving dinner together. So real. Now, they wasn't talking. They was just interacting with each other and cooking. I thought, if I didn't know these two, Sandy, I could believe they're friends. I could believe that they're really doing this. Why? Because it's so close. It was either last year or the year before, Brother Oney Cooper, the pastor of Faith Restoration now, he had put a post on Facebook or whatever, and somebody had got a hold of it and hacked it and edited it. And they had Oney saying very bad things and cussing and things like that. Now, see, if you didn't know Oney, you would believe that. Why? Because you're seeing Oney and you're hearing Oney's voice. Do you get what I'm saying? You're seeing Oney with your eyes. You're hearing Oney with your ears. But because you know Oney, you know that's not Oney. Because Oney would never be talking like that and saying the things that they had him saying. That's what I'm talking about, the things that are coming. We must be rooted and grounded in this book and in knowing him. Because this, I have to stay with this at all times. Y'all have heard your pastor say it before, and it bears true that it's, that it's true, that God told him, my word is all the evidence that you need. Regardless of what you think, he says, think like I think. Put on the mind of Christ. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. He says, mine are much higher. But then he tells me, come and think like I do. Right? Well, the way that I get the way that I think, I must renew my mind to this word. And I have a relationship with him, so I know him. So I know somebody can be talking to me and be telling me something that God told them or did or something other. And just because I know him and I know a certain degree of this book and I know him to a certain level, I can tell you whether he really said that or not. You should be able to, right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit, if you've been born again, he's in you, the Bible says. And he will bear witness, the Bible says, with the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Our next one, please, Beth. I think it's, what is it, Habakkuk? Is that the one? Oh, this is Hebrews. He says, for if the message given through angels, the law spoken by them to Moses, was authentic and proved sure, and every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty, how shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drift past us forever? For it was declared at first by the Lord Himself, and it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard Him speak. That's not right. Besides this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed His approval of it by signs and wonders of various miraculous manifestations of His power and by imparting the gifts. Something's not right about that. Let me see. I may have wrote it down wrong. Yeah, that's not right. I had Hebrews 10:38 and Hebrews 11:6. I'm sorry. Yeah, there it is. We quoted it, but we'll read it. It says, but without faith is it impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. Now put up the Habakkuk 2, I believe it is, please. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint, though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Look at the proud, his soul is not straight or right within him. But the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. So what does that mean? Just to break it down, let's look at Hebrews 11 right quick. One. I don't think I have this one wrote down. If Beth don't get it on the screen, you can write them down and go look at them later. Because some of this I'm not going to have wrote down probably. But here in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hope or hoped, when you look it up in the scriptures, it's not like what a lot of people think hope is today. A lot of people, you would say, you know, is God going to do something or whatever that He promised? And they'll say, well, I sure hope He does. What they mean by that a lot of times is, I wish He would. But the word hope in the scriptures, when you look at it, it means a confident expectation. Just like a woman, whenever they tell you that you're pregnant or whatever, you've got a confident expectation that within 9 months, you're going to pop a baby out, right? You are confidently expecting it. Why? You start getting ready for it. You have a baby shower. You put a crib together. All this stuff. Because you're confidently expecting. He says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why God told Scott, He said, my word is all the evidence that you need. If this book says it, it's yours. If this book says it, it's yours. But how many knows it's not all up to God whether I obtain it or not? Because me and Him have a relationship. He has His part of the relationship and He's already done it all. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says before that He took beatings upon Him, right? That was upon Him, why? For our healing. He went to hell for me and you so we don't have to, right? All the sin of the world, the Bible says, came on Him, right? Everything that He done, and while He was hanging on the cross, there wasn't anything that He didn't accomplish for us to be in right standing with God and to obtain all the promises of God. The Bible says all the promises in God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, He said, it is finished. Everything that God sent Him to do, He sealed it on that cross. And then whenever He was buried, He was raised again, right? To a resurrected life. Everything that He did to pay the price for whatever we needed payment for, it's already been done. So the Bible says over in Peter, what is it, 1 Peter 2:20 or Peter 2:22? I can't remember right now. But it says, by His stripes ye were. That's a past tense word. already healed. When did I get healed? When Jesus paid the price for it, right? Listen, they had healing in the Old Testament. Y'all read Psalm 103, right? He healeth all our diseases. He forgiveth all our iniquities, right? Well, over here in the New Testament, it wasn't done away with. We just have an even better and greater covenant. All we do is we get in Jesus, and everything has already been done for us, and it's already been given to us, but you must lay hold by faith. What does that mean? By believing it. I mean, if you just want to just basically simplify faith, all it is I believe. I trust. I don't see it. I don't feel it. That's one of the things that I'm trying to help the kids learn. Just because you feel pain don't mean you're not healed. But we got a lot of people in the church, in the body of Christ, that they'll come up, you lay hands on them and you pray for them, and because they still feel pain, they'll go off, I didn't get it. Y'all are getting quieter and quieter. Does feeling the pain determine whether I'm healed or not? Or does this book determine whether I'm healed or not? This book determines whether I'm healed or not, so therefore, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter. Listen, all that head stuff that y'all seen me have before, to where, I'm so drunk in my head, I'll start a sentence and I get called at a certain spot, say I'm talking about a shovel. Say I'm going to tell you, go get me that shovel. I would get to, go get me that. I can see a shovel, but I can't say the word shovel. I mean, that's how messed up I am. I'm not like that anymore, Johnny. But you know what? From time to time, that still tries to come back to me. And every time it does, and that drunk tries to come back to me, and then that feeling of nervousness on the inside that I can't control my body, that it's just jerking on the inside of me, every time that comes to me, out of my mouth, I say, oh, no, you don't. I am not taking you. You don't belong to me. I am the healed of God. And every time, Johnny, maybe not right that second, but in just a little while, I'll notice I'm not having those symptoms anymore. Why? They're just symptoms. They are not the truth. The truth is, I am healed. No sickness or disease is allowed in this body. Amen? That's something that's hard for Christians a lot of times to understand, because we walk and we live by what we believe. And the way that we receive it is we ask for it. And the Bible says, according to Mark 11, when we pray, when we ask for it, we are to believe that we receive it. We have it now. Regardless of what I feel, regardless of what my bank account says, I'm telling you, Scotty. Y'all heard the story. I mean, we're so broke we can't hardly pay attention. And we listen to TV, and you got these people coming on there, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, Jensen Franklin, all these. We don't even know who they are. Oh, but what they're saying is so good to us in here. Now, it ain't making a bit of sense to us up here. Till Scotty gets so stirred up one night, he's in his underwear, we're watching TV. He grabs up his billfold, and it's dark, so nobody can see him. But he grabs up his billfold, and he just runs around and around and around our trailer outside, holding up his billfold, hollering how blessed he is. And he would tell people how blessed he was, and I'm thinking, are you serious? This is not blessed. But see, Johnny, because he really believes it, he's convinced on the inside. He's running around there and he's holding it. He's not trying to make it come. He's already got it. Now you go years and years and years down the road and he physically has it. And not all of it. It's still coming. Amen? But we walk and we live by what we believe. And faith is that assurance. Let me read it in Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Listen, you can have a title deed to a car and you know you own a car even though you've never seen it. That's what faith is. He goes on here and he says, of the things we hope for, we confidently expect. It says, it's the proof, being the proof of the things we do not see yet and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving is real fact, what is not revealed to what? The senses. Because the senses, Sandy, they lie. They can only tell you what's here in the natural. They can't tell you what's in the spirit. Right? Now, let me look here. So we talked about last week that I believe it was in Romans 15:13. It talks about that we would have peace and joy in all believing. So some of the indicators of whether you're in faith or not is going to be your peace level and your joy level. Most of y'all have heard the story, but I was reminded of it again. That me and Scotty, I mean, we don't know nothing. I don't know how long we've been saved. We might have been saved a year. I'm really not sure. Travis, he's a baby. He still sits in the car seat in the back seat. And I got saved 2 weeks before he turned two. So, I mean, he can't be over three or four, something like that. Anyway, it takes us a quarter of a tank of gas, almost a full quarter of a tank of gas to go to church. We lived over there at the foot of Berry Mountain where Nita lives right now. And we went to church up there at Faith Restoration. Most of y'all know where that is. So it took us about a quarter of a tank of gas to go up there and back home. We don't have a quarter of a tank of gas, and we don't got no money, and it's a Wednesday night. So the senses, Sandy, and reasoning tells me I can't go. And they're giving thunderstorms that night, too. Tells me I can't go. But me and him, we look at it, but there's something inside here, Johnny. We love the Lord, and we love church, and we're in faith. And we decide we're going to church. God will make a way. We figure, somebody is going to give us some money at church or something. We don't know, and we don't care. We just get ready, and we take off, and we go to church. And we are not sitting in the service twiddling our thumbs in fear and asking people for gas money. We forgot about it. Why? Because to us, it's already done. We don't know how. We don't know when. But he's going to do it. So we go to church. Oh, and the service is so good. God's always so good. So we forget about it. We get in the car. Everybody's buckled up. And we're on the way home. And it's just about the service. Oh, I saw this. And did you hear him say this? And all this. We're just talking about the service. Until we get over there, what they call Cleveland Stretch, before you get to the Berry Mountain turn off. We start running out of gas. And then we remember, nobody gave us no money at church. Ain't nothing happened. And we are empty. So you know what you start doing? You start rocking it from side to side, you know, because you got to get the gas. Because there's still some in the cracks, and you got to get it because you got to get on home. So we start doing that to the point we are going to full side to side of the road. We turn in, and just as we turn in, that is the end of it. So we're sitting at the bottom of the turnoff there, right after the stop sign of the hill of Berry Mountain there. And I mean, it is thundering, it is lightning, it is raining like what they say, cats and dogs and all. I mean, it is pouring down. Well, Scotty keeps pumping it, you know, and keeps turning the, trying to get it to crank and all that. Well, lo and behold, he runs the battery down. We all know what the battery dead sounds like, right? I mean, it's going, click, 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 click. Y'all know that sound, right? So we know the battery's dead. So he tells me, he said, y'all stay right here. We got a truck at the house. Anyway, and it ain't already got no gas in it either. But anyway, he says, I'm going to lock y'all in here. He said, I'm going to run to the house. Now, it is pouring down. It's thundering. It's lightning. We should not be out there. Some would tell you. Let me tell you something. If you never go beyond and live by faith, you'll never see miracles happen. There is no need for them. There's no need for a miracle when you're sitting on the couch. So he opens up the door, and he's going to run. And I don't know why. I guess, I don't know. The Lord didn't tell him. But anyway, maybe he saw the thunderstorm. He closes the door, and he tries it one more time. And this time, as soon as he turns that key, that car goes, zoom. He looks at me, I look at him, and I said, go! And we stomp it. So it's the first little, second little turnoff there. You know, we live down that road. We get in there. We're sitting under the lean-to, and he's letting it run, Johnny. And we are just looking at each other. It's just sitting there running. The battery was dead. There was no gas in that car. I know. I lived it. And we're just sitting there letting it run in awe of what God has done. Sat there, And we sat there. It never skips. It never sputters. It just runs. Till finally we decide, okay, let's go in the house. He cuts it off, goes in the house. The next day, Johnny, he has to prime the carburetor, put gas, air the whole nine yards just to get that car back running again. Now, I have told that story before. Scotty's told that story. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And there'll be people, they'll hear that, and they won't believe it. Did you know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? That when you hear the Word of God or a testimony or whatever, you must mix your believing with what you hear. Or according to Hebrews, it will do you absolutely no good. That's why it didn't do them any good in the wilderness, right? I think sometimes we're getting too much by what we see. Too much by what we hear. Too much by what we feel. Because see, Johnny, we're baby Christians. We don't know this stuff. But we're living from within. Sometimes you can serve God for a while and get older. And not use your... See, you used to have to use your faith. Because you didn't have no money. If you're going to eat something besides pork and beans, you got to use your faith. If you're going to have enough gas or a way to get to church, you got to use your faith. Then God does miracles and signs and wonders. But how many knows there's a danger that after you get up there, that Sandy, you got enough money to buy gas. You got enough money, you can have anything you want to eat anytime you want to eat it because he's been so good. And then we can't go to church because it's raining. Ah, help us, Jesus. There's something wrong with that. I can't tithe now because I'm going on vacation. There's something wrong with that. What happened when you gave the $2 and it was all you had? That's when you really walked and you lived by what you believed. The convictions that you had on the inside. How many knows every one of us, if we're not there, we must come back to this. To where he is, we'll sing the song, but to where he is the very lover of our souls. That there is nothing that matters more than him. That I won't believe anybody or anything more than I will this word. Because I'm going to tell you something, he's going to be the one that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He said, I will be with you always, even unto the end. He says, if your mama and your daddy forsake you, he said, I never will. I must believe that. Because there's been times, Sandy, that I felt like, God, where are you? God, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you care? Ain't that what they told Jesus? He done told them, let's go to the other side. If they had believed that, they wouldn't have said, don't you care that we're perishing? Because they had his word on it, they could have told each other, it don't matter. He said, go to the other side, so therefore we can and we will make it to the other side. But that's what he's talking about. If my soul, if I draw back in unbelief, then his soul has no pleasure in me. Every one of us is going to have to work on getting out fear. And the way that you do that, the Bible says, what cast out all fear is perfected love. The Apostle Paul, y'all remember the story about him, right? He's on his way to Rome. God told him, he's been in prison there, all that stuff. And God told him, he said, Paul, just as you have testified of me here, he said, you're going to testify of me in Rome. Well, lo and behold, y'all remember the story, he gets on the ship. He told them, don't go. They didn't listen. They went anyway. Well, while they're on the ship and everything, a storm comes up, and I mean, it lasts for a long time and all of that, and I'm not going to go through all of that. Y'all know how the story goes. You know, they ended up shipwrecked, you know, and they had to get to the shore on pieces of wood and different things like that. But whenever he's out there, well, number one, an angel shows up to him and says, there'll be no loss of life if they stay with the ship. Then he gets over there and he's picking up sticks because they're going to make a fire, Sandy, because they're wet and they're cold. And he's picking up sticks and here comes, the Bible says, this viper that's supposed to be very venomous. And they all, the people that are there, they see it bite him. to the point to where they say, oh, this man, he must be a murderer now. He's done some bad stuff, so God's going to bring judgment on him. I'm paraphrasing. Well, they watch him. He don't swell up. He don't fall over. The Bible says he just shakes it off and he goes on his way. You know why he could do that? God told him, he said, you will testify of me in Rome. Where's he on his way to? Rome. Why am I saying that? Because Paul believed. He had full confidence and trust in God and what God had said, to the point, ain't no shipwreck can kill me. Ain't no venomous viper can kill me. Ain't nothing that man or this world or anything can do to me until after I testify of the Lord in Rome. It's the same thing for me and you. If he says by his stripes we are healed, we are healed. I don't care what your symptoms are. I don't care how long it's been there. If the Word says it, then you believe it and you will receive it. And I'm going to tell you something. There's times, just like I said, that once you have received your healing by faith, the Bible says the devil left Jesus for a more opportune time. He'll come back. You ain't healed. You feel that? You feel a little tingly there, and I'm like, is this dizziness? What is this? But see, if I ever give in to that, so much of the body of Christ, they don't know these things. So therefore, when the symptoms come, I guess I didn't get healed. Yes, you did. You was already healed before it ever even came. It's the same way with our finances. Didn't he say he would supply? Doesn't he say he's our Father? Do you really think he put all the gold and silver here for Budweiser and Playboy? Are you serious? But then a lot of the church have a problem with us having money and having things. If we don't have money and things, we can't have land. We can't do ministry. We can't buy Bibles. We can't do food giveaways. Oh, well, we don't really care about your church having money. But now we really just think that Jesse Duplantis, you know, this is just a little too out there. Do you really got to have that big for Jesus? Do you really got to have all that overlaid with gold for Jesus? Is there too much you can do for him? There's a reason why they have a problem with it. Judas had a problem with the alabaster box. Y'all remember that? You know why he did? The Bible says not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he wasn't getting access to it. Did Jesus think it was too much for her to put that on him? There's nothing we can do for him that he thinks is too much, and he will receive and be honored by all that we do for him. Because I'm going to tell you that we could never do too much for him. There's nothing we could ever give him that would be too much honor bestowed on him. And he didn't put all the things down here in the earth for the devil and his bunch. He put it all down here for all of us to serve him with. Just like whenever he led them out there in the wilderness. Y'all remember that? 40 years they're out there. Now, that wasn't the purpose or intention of God. But they went out sick, broke, destitute. Are y'all serious? Y'all been reading your Bible, ain't you? You haven't been reading your denomination. Y'all been reading your Bible. How did it say that went out? Rich. 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 Healed. Now when you think, this is over 1 million people. You got old, you got young, you got middle-aged, you got pregnant, you got newborn baby. All of them, the Bible says, went out healed. All of them, the Bible says, went out rich. What y'all need with all that in the wilderness? What y'all need with another building? Y'all should have said right again. They asked us when we bought that building. What y'all need with that building down there? Well, number one, what's it to you? We need it for whatever Jesus says we need it for. There's always somebody so nosy up in your business. I need it for whatever God says. I don't know what I need it for till he tells me what I need it for. He's the one that knows all, right? All I'm supposed to do is just believe him. Well, lo and behold, when we got that building, what we do with it down there was never a thought in any of our minds what it is today. But it's very needful. Darcy thinks at different times she could use some more room. Don't you? Sandy was down there. She didn't want to take over the fellowship hall. You don't know what you need until God says you need it. And you don't even know what you need it for till He tells you what you need it for. But how many knows when your heart is to do the will of God, He will lead you at all times. He will provide for you at all times. Listen, you need to, 1 Peter 5:7? 1 Peter 5:7, anything and everything that tries to get you to be anxious, that tries to get you to worry, that tries to get you to fear. Come on now. I'm quoting Philippians 4? It says, let all your requests be known unto God, right? With thanksgiving. And then he says, and the peace of God. That's the key. When you're in faith, you have peace. You don't know how, you don't know when, but you know, God, you've done it. It's already done. So therefore, you just sit back and rest and in peace. If you're not resting in peace, you're not really in faith. You can be in that head faith, but somehow or another, you're going to be worrying about it. You're going to be trying to fix it. You're going to be trying to figure out how are you going to do it. And listen, He'll come by it honest. However He does it, He's not counterfeiting money in the heavens, so He will come by it honest. But listen, He's got 101 ways to fix mine and your problems. Ain't never crossed our mind yet. He is so good and so big. But what we must do is believe Him. We must trust Him. The Bible talks about how that He told Abraham, get out from amongst your family. You know, they worshiped the stars. They was astrologers, right? The sun and the moon and the stars. Y'all read that? Yeah. Sometimes you got to get away from people. But anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. And He told him, He said, okay, gather up all your stuff. Now I'm paraphrasing. Gather up all your stuff, Abram. He wasn't Abraham yet. And I'm going to show you. Get out. Get out there and get started going. And I'm going to show you where I want you to go. Now just imagine that for a minute. You got a house. I mean, He says that to people today too. You got a house, you got a car, you got a job, you got family members lives around you. You got a comfortable, right? And God says, gather up and go? That's trust. Faith is trust. See, that goes back to that first John 4:18. Perfected or matured love cast out all fear. When you know, you get rooted in grace. The Bible says that God loves you just like and just as much as He loves Jesus. Now that sometimes is hard for our mind to understand because we know our faults, we know our sins, we know our weaknesses. We know better than anybody else. And what we don't know, the devil helps us out with. But God says at the same time, I love you just like I love Jesus. He doesn't love Jesus because He was all that good. He doesn't love me and you because we're all that good. He loves us because He is love, according to 1 John 4:8. He doesn't have it, He is it. And He loves us unconditionally. He doesn't love me based on my performance. He doesn't love me based on my goodness. He doesn't love me based on any of that. He loves me based on I am His child, number one by creation. Now, I didn't say He was always pleased with me, Sandy. But He never don't not love me. See, that's hard. And see, and a lot of people, you think you're unworthy. Let me tell you something. The worth of something is based on the creator of it or the one that owns it. Did y'all not get that? See, there's things that Scotty has given to me that you couldn't buy. But to you, it'd be yard sale junk. Right? Don't you have those kinds of things? Do you realize we're like that to God? According to Scripture, y'all know the Scripture, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He did what? He gave the very best that He could possibly give. He gave Jesus. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. so that whosoever would, right, believe in Him, we would not perish. God placed just as much value on me and you as He does Jesus. He loved us so much He gave Him, so therefore that we could be brought back into right relationship. That's how much God values us. So you may not be very valuable to people here in the earth, but that's not what counts. You are valuable to God, to where He gave the precious, the most precious thing, His only begotten Son that He had, to bring you back and me back into right relationship with Him. So don't you ever, therefore, let the devil lie to you and say you're not worthy. I am not in myself, Johnny. But the one that created me is the one that has placed all this value on me. The one that created me, the one that loved me, right? And you is the one that has did all these things for me, not because of me, but because of Him. My grandkids, they don't get what they get from me because of their performance. They're blessed because they belong to me. And they'll tell you they're even more blessed because they belong to their papa. No, Grandma don't give tooth money. Aubrey just got another tooth pulled out, and I think Papa gave her $7 if he didn't increase it after I left for one little tooth. And Travis like, I got 50 cents. Well, you didn't have a Papa like this Papa. Do you get what I'm trying to tell you? He takes them to the store. And listen, they're not spoiled. They're good kids. We tell them to do something, they do it. And if they don't, they know what's going to happen. And don't give me no attitude. Don't start telling me I owe you. I don't owe you nothing. But because they belong to us and He's their papa all those times, especially they just love ladies' meetings, Samantha. Because on ladies' meetings, they go home with papa after church. And they already know. Papa just loves to take us shopping. Woo! Walmart, Family Dollar, here we come. And papa will tell them, anything you want in this store, get it. Does he not? Am I lying? He'll tell, anything you want in this store, just get it. And if he thinks they don't get enough, he'll be, don't you need a snack? You know, don't you need a drink or a snack for after a while, you know? And then they'll be like, well, you know, you could get two of them. You know, God is like that with us. See, a lot of times people think God has a problem with us having things. God doesn't have a problem with us having things. God has a problem with things having us. Because with God, everything is about mine and your heart. If my heart stays right before, the Bible says that God will uphold no good thing to those who walk up right before Him. The way you walk up right before Him is in the heart. That I love Him. God, You're first. Everything that I have, everything that You've given me, it belongs to You, God. At any time, You say give it, donate it, whatever You say, because You are first. How could you not give things to somebody like that? God is the same way. Doesn't He say, you being evil, talking to the Pharisees and them, you being evil, give good gifts to your children? How much more do you think God's going to give to us? When He says they're evil, but He says He's good. And I got to stop because our time is up. But does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close? Y'all want to go home with Papa, do you? Now, he don't treat me like that. But anyway, I'm not the grandkid. All right, we'll recess till 11.